Reading from Jiva Dharma, Chapter 8, Nitya Dharma and Vaishnava Behavior. Om Jnanati Manandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Dakshtur Anmalatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Rapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kampa Tarubhyascha Rupa Shundu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadevo Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Sun Falls, where I'm staying, preparing for our Bhakti Immersion retreat. It's quite amazing, practically without advertising. We have over 75 people, and it's just wonderful how many people are interested in Krishna consciousness. So we also had such a wonderful Prabhupada's Yash Puja here with Radhanath Swami, and with Radhanath Swami and Satyarup Maharaj. It was quite wonderful. So we're following the pure Vaishnavas in Gojradweep, and especially the people that, like Providence, of the transcendental system come to meet them. You know, I know myself how I came to Krishna consciousness by chance. My friends got a card on Sunset Boulevard. They came back to some kind of Sunday feast. These people seem cool. So from that card, we went to the temple, the one that's on Wat Sikh Avenue in 1970. That's the 44 years ago. And somehow we liked the program, and we even chanted Hare Krishna as our car. We'd form my friends. We went up to up Highway 1, and wound up in San Francisco, and we met the devotees chanting outside of the Chinese restaurant where we went. And then then we needed a place to stay, and we couldn't find one. One person said that there's a parking lot across from his house in San Francisco, and we could sleep in our car and then in the morning use his bathroom. So we drove into that parking lot, and when we looked at the storefronts, the back of the storefronts on Frederick Street that faced the parking lot, we saw the devotees, and we thought, my God, everyone in this city is into this. So we said, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And then we met the devotees. I thought it was the only place. So Krishna made that direction. A lot of times when you have to offer Krishna consciousness in a quality way, Krishna sends the people that are ready to hear Krishna consciousness in a quality way. So we see that story after Lord Chaitanya, and that story is by Prabhupada's mercy is repeated again and again. People are somehow finding their way to go to him to eat. And in finding their way to Gojumdweep, they raise their doubts. According to their identification, their attachment, their conceptions, they have different doubts. And the novel or story or history is so constructed that when these great sages clear these doubts, we just finished the person that was a materialist, and we need to hear the Maya Tattva, the knowledge of material existence. We get to hear different subjects in Krishna consciousness. Jiva Dharma systematically, in this way, covers all the subjects of Krishna consciousness. It's one of the best books to learn about the tattvas. What subjects of Krishna consciousness? So, now there are going to be some Vaishnavas and new Vaishnavas, and they want to learn about, they don't need to understand about material existence. They've already dealt with it, engaged it, renounced it. They don't need to know Jiva Dharma. They already know the nature of the soul is to serve God. But they need to know about now how to behave as a Vaishnava. So there's a place called Gaura Radha. Vaishnavas are living. And they somehow send a message to these Vaishnavas of Gojumdweep to come. And they're, you know, it's so blissful. They're honoring Prasadam together in this grove. And this Lahari Mahasai, remember he was the Zamindar, the Brahmin land owner, and we got to understand the, you know, the relationship. relationship of caste and Krishna consciousness is, remember, his son was Lord Jushin, and he began to appreciate the Muslims who had become devotees, and his son was aghast, and he brought Chudamani, a great Brahmin scholar, there was a debate. So learning different subjects. Anyway, this Lahari is there, and he sings a bhajan. He awakens ecstatic love, a brudge in everyone's heart about the pastimes of Gauranga and how he danced and sported and waited in the other Vaishnavas, and how Krishna tamed Kaliya serpent, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the crocodile from this pond with his sankirtan. Anyway, when the bhajan was over, the Vaishnava, they begin to discuss the similarity between Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. Very interesting subject. Gaur Leela is Krishna Leela in just the accessible form. The substance is the same. The personalities are the same. It's just the form is different. While they're discussing this, then some more Vaishnavas arrive from another place, Varagachi, and they offer obeisances, and then they're offered Sudaburi and the, you know, there's a banyan tree there, and there's kind of like a terrace around it, and it, the tree is on it. As Nityavad, Nityananda would sit behind it. Now the Vaishnavas are sitting behind it. They're discussing spiritual matters. And then a young, inquisitive Vaishnava in the group from Varagachi very humbly asked, he wants to ask a question to the person who the most learned person of the Vaishnavas there is Haridas Babaji. Almost 100 years old. He had personally seen Lord Nityananda. And, you know, and sitting, and his desire was, like, he wants to leave the world sitting, departing under this tree. But when he heard the youth's words, he said, he's been just to my son. The problem is, Bhadrach Antrat is sitting. You need have no anxiety about receiving a reply. So he asks this question. I understand. He understands now Nitya Dharma, that Vaishnava religion is eternal. But now he wants to know how in detail I can take shelter of Vaishnava Dharma in a way, and how should one who is taken behave with others? So Haridas Baba, even though he's 100 years old, he's so senior. He points to Vaishnav Das. You remember he was the sannyasi, Mayavadi sannyasi, who was very learned. He came as a devotee, and now he's the most learned Vaishnav. And he tells us, no one equal to you. You're the most fit to answer this question. But Vaishnava Das says, no, you're the great soul who has seen the incarnation of Baladev Nityananda. And your instructions have enabled countless people to enter spiritual life. I would deem it a great mercy if you instruct us today. And all the Vaishnavas agree. And Vaishnav Das relents, and he offers Dandavat Pranam to Nityananda at the foot of the tree, and then he begins to speak. And he says how he honors all living entities because they're all servants of Krishna. Some accept and some don't because of illusion. And they form one group, and another group accept their identity. So there's two kinds. There's Krishna Bahamukh, you're turning away from Krishna, and there's Krishna Unmukha, you're attentive to Krishna. So most people are diverted. Not much to say about those people. They're just turned away from Krishna. They have no sense about what is to be done, and their entire existence turning away from Krishna means you turn away from yourself as a servant of Krishna, and therefore you enter the world of selfishness and ego. So he begins to describe how there are some people who accept moral principles, have a sense of duty. They're not just selfish. What did Tom Wolfe said? They'll never understand duty above self. There's people that understand duty above self. And they're turning towards Krishna in the sense that they're accepting his direction in terms of the Shastra. And one of those directions is how to behave. So Vaishnav is going to explain that. And he describes that there are 10 principles of life. There's dhriti, determination with patience. There's shama, forgiveness, means not retaliating when wronged by others. The mo, control of the mind, which means equanimity. Despite all kinds of unsettling circumstances, equanimity. And then there's asteyam, you know, steel, sochin, you're cleanly clean. Into your nigraha, you restrain the objects from the senses, dear. Intelligence means you know Shastra, Vidya, you have realization, Satyam, truthfulness, and Akrodha. Means that you're even tempered, even in disturbing circumstances. So these are the core moral principles where one can at least access some type of flow of God's being in terms of the inherent goodness that exists within God and is reflected in moral principles. Then he goes on, 6 of the characteristics are duties to others. That's really called yama. And samaniya, duties to oneself. So the duties to oneself is the behavior of one who is the behavior of one who is behavior of one who is moving towards God to some degree, is determination and control of the mind and cleanliness, restraint of the senses, knowledge of the Shastra and wisdom. These are the duties of the progressive man towards oneself. That's niyam and yama to others. Forgiveness, don't steal, truthfulness, absence of anger. But although they're moral principles, they don't indicate Hari Bhajan. And if you carry out these duties faithfully, you'll not necessarily attain complete success in life. Complete success in life is filling the heart with love. Obviously, just the fact that you're doing moral principles means that you're following something beyond the selfish self. But it's still not a heart filled with love. So now Vaishnav Dasan, explaining Vaishnav behavior, wants to explain this very important point. That You may perform your duties sunishtita so perfectly. But if you don't develop bhakti, you don't develop love, then it's, what's the value? But the goal is love, love of God. He says this is confirmed in the Vishnu Dharma Purana. It is most auspicious to live in the world even for 5 days as a bhakta of Vishnu, where it is not at all auspicious to live in the world for thousands of kalpas without bhakti to Sri Krishna. Because what brings us to this world is aversion to God. It's so clear. We can even introspect in terms of ourselves. We don't want any authority. We want to be the authority, so that we have reign to control the world according to our desires. So unless we reverse the cause of material existence, our moral behavior will not enable us to achieve complete perfection. A person who is bereft of bhakti for Sri Krishna is not fit to be called a human being. And that is why Shastra refers to such non-devotees as two-legged animals, Srimad Bhagavatam 2:3:19. So stressing of all the Vedas, I am to be known. That's the goal of all the Vedas. So, you may do so many things, but if you don't change your heart and your conceptions. Your conceptions of reality and your relationship with reality. Then your qualities will still be very much anchored to the ego. So Srimad Bhagavatam states 2:13-3:19. Swavid parahosta karai samstuta parasha pushu yatkarano pato peta jada. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses Praise those who never hear the holy name of Sri Krishna, the elder brother of Gada. So here's the point. It's really making a very strong point in terms of behavior. You have to come to the point of devotion. You have to come to a point of actually changing your heart and surrendering to God. Otherwise, what is that verse? Yasyaksti Bhaktir Bhagavat Akinchina Savai Gunas Tattu Samastate Sarahara Bhavatasta. Then, if it's not connected to God, then your morality is still tinged with a type of aversion. The core root of material existence, aversion to God. This is a very heavy verse. It's from Sutta Goswami, Shonaka Rishi. It's well known in the Bhagavatam, not well known, but it's a fact in the Bhagavatam. The instructions of the students are always heavier than the instructions of the teacher. Because the teacher tends to stress something from a greater context. If the student doesn't carefully assimilate what the teacher gives one, then that truth will become our context, and so and therefore a passion. It'll be overextended. It will apply in places where it doesn't belong. So generally, the students are very, very strong and have almost not greater conviction, but a less balanced conviction. So this is Sutta. He's very heavy. If you don't glorify Krishna, you're like an animal. Because that's the purpose of human life. Purpose of human life is to revive our natural state as God's loving servants. It says men are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. The person never hears Sri Krishna nam to enter his ears. He's like an animal. In fact, he is more degraded than hogs that eat stool and other rejected substances. Camels that wander in the desert of samsar eating cactus, and asses that carry heavy loads for others and are always harassed by the she-ass. So like animals, the hog eats stool and rejected substances, and the camel eats cactuses and they are tasting their own blood as what they're eating is actually cutting them. What's saying here is, you know, you're about Krishna. If you don't have bhakti, then what happens is that all your senses become useless. And that section of the Bhagavatam that is quoted, 2.3.19, is where Shonaka Rishi is stating that. That whatever sense you have, if it's not used for the purpose of its creation, which is to somehow serve God and become purified, then it becomes useless. So then Vaishnav Das Babaji pulls in and saying, this is all interesting, but the questions here raised is really about how one who is taking shelter on the path of bhakti behaves with others. So he has to understand Vaishnavatva. The truth about what is a devotee and how do we deal with them and how do we respect them. It's so important because in human dealings, knowledge of oneself is only revealed in intimacy of relationship. So now he's going to describe, as he says, the real question is, what is the behavior of Vaishnavas? He first says, okay, we get to that, but you have to understand there's three types of Vaishnavas. There's the Kanishthas, there are neophytes, there's Madhyams, there's intermediate, and there's Uttamas. And their symptoms are described as follows. So first is the Kanishtha. He worships faithfully, but he does not serve the devotees and others. So that's the neophyte. He somehow or other is directed towards the deity to see God, but he doesn't see the divinity of humanity, and the divinity of people. And he does not render service to the devotees. He just worships the deity, where he honors Krishna and neglects the devotees whom Krishna has manifested in their heart. So he goes on to explain that it's Shraddha with faith is the seed of bhakti, and one's bhakti is only effective when you worship with Shraddha. And it's still, Vaishnav Das says, it's still not Shraddha bhakti as you if you don't worship the devotees as well. And then quotes a very famous book very famous verse that describes the objects in one's life and the proper relationship with one's life. The proper objects are oneself, relationship with oneself, relationship with others, the relationship with God, and the relationship with holy places. So it's a famous book. It said, and this is in the when Radharani visits Kurukshetra after 96 years. This verse is from there. If one considers this corpse-like body made of mucus, bile, and air to be his self, so the wrong conception of the self, you think the body is the self. If you think wife, children, other bodily relatives, your own, so relationship with yourself, relationship with others. If one regards the worship of the deity to simply be transformation of earth such as wood, And if one goes to a place of pilgrimage to take bath, but never hears from sadhus or fully conversant with the absolute truth, such a person, although guised in human form, is certainly no better than an ass. So if you don't associate with sadhus, you won't have the right perspective of yourself. You have the wrong relationship with yourself or your body. You have the wrong relationship with others. You won't have the right relationship with the deities. And you won't understand why to go to a place of pilgrimage. So the purport of these verses is to approach, that you not only have to approach the form of Bhagavan and the deity, but you have to serve him in a particular type of consciousness. And that consciousness includes worshiping the devotees. But to understand that, you have to have some bandhagyan. And I mentioned many, many times, it means the interrelationship between body, mind, spirit, matter, and the controller of both. So if you want to worship the deity, you have to worship the deity, become a devotee, you have to worship God, but you must worship Krishna and serve the devotees. And therefore, you must understand a little bit about Vaishnava Tattva. What makes one a devotee? So you worship the deity and you don't have this sambandhagyan, then you simply worship the deity out of traditional custom. And that's not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service includes the worship of Krishna and Krishna's energy, so things in relationship to Krishna. So this, if you don't have some bandhagyan metaphysical knowledge, then your religion just becomes a ritual. It has no substance. Although it's not Shuddha Bhakti, though, Shuddha Bhakti, it does definitely definitely stepping in the right direction. And of course, Jamari Bhakti Vilas. Learned scholars have determined that a Vaishnava one is one who is initiated into Vaishnava mantra in accordance with the regulation of Shastra and who is engaged in the worship of the deities. So it's still glorious, it's just not first class. Kanishtha Vaishnavas or Prakata Bhaktas are those who accept a family priest out of hereditary tradition, or who are prompted by worldly faith to imitate others by taking initiation into the Vishnu mantra and worshiping the deity. So they're materialistic devotees, they're not Shuddha Bhaktas, rather, it's a shadow-like substance of bhakti called chaya bhakti bhas. It's like a shadow of the devotee. You know, somehow it just happens to be one of those days where I guess I haven't slept during the day and I'm exhausted. But I would like to see if anyone's there. I'll try to get I fasted today, so maybe it's just sitting me out. Is there anybody else who'd like to say hello?
Hi, Mr. Mahan.
Who's that?
This is Gail.
Thank you, Gail. Real tough class for me today. I just could not.
I could hear you, I know.
I was just kind of actually dozing off and then losing the thoughts. And it just it happens sometimes. You know, I guess I fasted today for Kadasi and didn't sleep during the day, and it's hitting me. Okay, but thanks for coming on. I'll try to really prepare next time and try to take
thanks
rest.
Thanks for trying, Mahan.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Brajavale.
Thank you so much. We'll again. So we'll meet again next week. Thank you all for coming on. I just have to go to sleep right now. Sorry.